In this week's episode of the Sales Playbook Podcast, we're going to talk about insincere prospecting tactics, specifically a cold email tactic that's been really making the rounds lately that 9 out of 10 times is going to have you come across like a liar. My name is Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, and I'm your host for the Sales Playbook Podcast. I've personally trained over 70,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready because school is now in session. This week's episode of the Sales Playbook Podcast is brought to you by our brand spanking new prospecting course. And we're going to talk about it at the end of the podcast, but if you happen to be impatient like I am, might be that whole New York thing I got going on, you can visit yoursalesplaybook.com/prospecting24. So if this is your first time visiting the podcast, I'm going to let you know that I like to get right down to business. I listen to a lot of podcasts. I find that, you know, sometimes I'm 6, 7, 8 minutes into a podcast and they still haven't gotten down to business. So if you don't mind, let's roll up our sleeves and get to work. So there is a cold email tactic that's been making the rounds lately. And don't forget, folks, not only am I out there prospecting actively like you guys, I own a business, so I'm on the receiving end a lot of these prospecting approaches. And, you know, it's kind of cool in a way because, you know, being a humble student of sales, like I'm hoping you are, I guess you wouldn't be here if you weren't, right? I like to keep my eyes and ears open to new tactics. And if something doesn't sit well with me, I'm really not about sitting here and complaining and trying to score podcasting points at somebody else's expense. But what I am about doing is finding maybe a better way of doing it and getting that information out there to you guys. So this prospecting tactic, it begins with a compliment. Now, that sounds like it's harmless enough, right? But there's a problem. The compliment usually comes across as BS, and at the very least, like somebody's blowing smoke. You know, like that kind of fake flattery that someone might do when they're setting you up for an ask. And that's exactly what's happening here. So let me give you some examples, but I promise you, we're not going to sit here and piss and moan and complain and, you know, complain and rant. There are some ways that we can go about this in a better way, okay? So the first approach is, in fact, I have these where I'm going to quote some actual things that I've gotten. Of course, I'll leave the person's name out. And so one of them that I get quite often is a variation of this. Hey, Paul, notice you're doing great things at Castain Training Systems. And then they go on to their whole thing, right? Their whole pitch. So, I mean, I don't respond to them this way, but I want to say, okay, you notice I've done great things at Castain Training Systems. Like what? Right? It's lacking something specific. In fact, if they used something specific in that attempted compliment, I mean, it would give the email a lot more credibility because, I mean, I could go over to anybody that I don't know dick about and say, yeah, I notice you're doing great things over there at, you know, the Pentagon. You know, I notice you're doing great things over there at McGillicuddy and McGillicuddy. Right? And meanwhile, I don't know anything about them. And that's the problem. And I'll tell you, this would be really sad if they actually did research me and they're coming across like they didn't, but I'm willing to bet they didn't do an ounce of research. But here's like a better way. What if instead of that real general, notice you're doing great things at Castain Training System. And by the way, doesn't it really sound like they're full of shit? I mean, let's be honest here, right? What about instead, hey, Paul, 13 years in an industry where the average quote-unquote sales trainer is back working for someone else within 12 to 18 months with, you know, like kind of like a question, right? And See that right there. And by the way, that's something I'm very proud of. I mean, I've owned Castain Training Systems for 13 years. I almost said 30 years, man. It put me at like, I don't know, like 120 years old or something. But I mean, you know, it just starts off with a compliment and it shows me, you know, that whole thing everybody's talking about right now, you know, show me you know me. So if you're going to give me a compliment and I see that you were specific, I'm like, wow. And who the hell doesn't like a genuine compliment and really pointing something out that most people in my space, they're going to be really proud of? Again, because the average person doing what I do, they're tapping out within 12 to 18 months. It is a brutal industry. And not only is it a brutal industry, you've got two things going on in this industry. Number one, and no offense. Now, you know the deal, right? You can insult the shit out of somebody if you start with no offense, or remember Talladega Nights, with all due respect. And then you could be an asshole after that. Or, by the way, if you say to someone, I don't mean to be an asshole, but, and then you can, you're free to act like an asshole. So take it in that spirit. But I mean, the people that I sell to, you guys, most of you guys don't think that you need sales training, right? You know, we have the biggest egos, I almost said eagles, and eagles on the planet. The other thing too, you know, you get a lot of salespeople that are like cheap. They don't want to invest in themselves and they think, you know, it's all a scam or whatever it is. And if that isn't enough, you've got a ton of people that at the end of the day, and I'm not making fun of them, or display salespeople that, hey, I know, I'll do sales training and I'll do quote unquote consulting. So if you could actually make it 13 years without having, you know, married rich and you have a rich spouse carrying you, that's actually quite an accomplishment in the sales training space. So if they had started off that way, that would be much better. Or how about here? Here's something specific. You know, that they noticed that I was featured in Success Magazine or Forbes or Selling Power, right? So something like that, if you're going to pay someone like me a compliment, is specific. Now, you might be thinking, well, what if they weren't in Success Magazine or Forbes? No, that's not the point. It's something specific, right? And these things can be obtained by, I don't know, taking a few minutes and going on the interwebs. So that's the first thing. Let me give you another example. And these are all things I've received. Paul, I'm a big fan of the Sales Playbook podcast. Then, right? That's the only phrase you need to know. Paul, I'm a big fan. Or Paul, I am a huge fan of the Sales Playbook podcast. And then they proceed to give me a pitch on why I should have a particular person that they represent on my podcast. Now, the reason why this comes across as complete and utter bullshit is because if you really had listened to my podcast, you'd know that I never have guests on my podcast. I mean, if you've been following me for a long time, you know that I think in the 13 years and almost 400 episodes that I've done, I think I've had two guests the entire time, and they were so long ago that you know what I mean? It's you wouldn't know that I actually have had two guests out of 400 episodes. So again, if you really listen to my podcast, you would know that, well, it's really not something that I do. Or again, if you want to be specific, hey, love what you're doing at the Sales Playbook podcast, or, you know, I'm a big fan of the Sales Playbook podcast. And Paul, I know that you typically don't have guests, but all right, that would be a hell of a lot better. It tells me, yeah, I'm not just making shit up or whatever. So enough of the rant now, and let's get into some things here. If you decide to start off with a compliment, number one, and feel free to say duh, don't bullshit people. I hate deceptive prospecting tactics of any kind, deception. And I mean, seriously, I've heard it all. I've seen it all. I can't stand it. As a sales rep, you would hate to have me in your training class, because the minute a trainer was telling us to lie or be deceptive, I called them out. And before I continue, I'm a firm believer that people do things because they can. And what I mean by that, I mean if they're used to going unchallenged, they continue on with the behavior. We see this with some of these keyboard warriors online that, you know, they troll people and nobody goes back at them and says, hey, dude, fuck off already, right? And make it unpleasant for them. So they continue doing it, right? We see it sometimes with buyers and, you know, yeah, call me back after the summer. Because the average sales rep taps out and doesn't say, hey, with respect, what's going to change after the summer? You know, do you have the summers off? Because if so, I want to work for your company, right? Same thing at Christmas. Like, call me back after the holidays. Why not now? I'm not saying you say it this way, but again, it goes unchallenged. So when somebody, I don't care if it's a trainer or if it's your boss or if it's a lot of the time, some of these people from marketing that never sold anything, they are telling us to do some of these things. I think you have to, I don't want you to lose your job over it, but you have to take a stand and say, you know, I'm not comfortable lying to people. I'm not comfortable misrepresenting, you know, our value proposition or whatever. I personally feel that this is deceptive. Could we brainstorm another way? Again, put it across as you're not trying to be difficult or disrespectful, and certainly don't do it. I don't know that it's the best idea to do it in front of, you know, the rest of the sales team. Unless it's a sleazy sales trainer, then go ahead, do it, right? I don't care. Less competitors for me. No, I'm kidding. I mean, but, you know, be respectful. Don't be an ass about it. But I think you have to call them out. So, number one, obviously, don't bullshit people. Now, before I continue on, I do want to say something. Sometimes people, and I'm not justifying the behavior, just don't know what to write in an email, right? I mean, how much of our day do we spend staring like at a blank screen trying to come up with something to say? Lying is never a good option for that. Number one, I would choose doing nothing over lying. But just to kind of plug something that we're going to be doing on May 17th, and even if you listen to this after May 17th, you can certainly email me for the webinar replay. We're doing a webinar on May 17th. And one of the categories in the webinar is talking about what to say, not only when you don't know what to say, but I mean, we all know to like try to dig up something on the internet. What if you can't find something specific and relevant enough to lead with that and or leverage that in some way? So, you know, I'll offer you some things there. So if you want more information on that webinar and the other things we're going to be covering and or to join us, if it's prior to May 17th, 2024, if you go to yoursalesplaybook.com/blog, one of the blog posts in there will give you information about the other things we're talking about, how to sign up. If it's after May 17th, not to worry, because I record each and every one of these. There's going to be lots of templates I'll send you as well. You could simply email me, paul@yoursalesplaybook.com. So let's get back to what to do here. Number one, we said, don't bullshit the other person. Number two, what you want to do is, you know, to avoid this compliment coming across, you know, as bullshit. One of the things you don't want to do is a lot of the time people will do the compliment, even if it's a genuine, a genuine compliment, but it's not going to come across the way. But even if they've done their homework and they know this person has done A, B, and C or whatever, and they give them something specific, understand that you're going to negate everything that comes after the compliment. If you do, and this was taught to me online, by the way, by in a podcast by Chris Brogan. And he was a big influence on the early part of my career when I knew nothing about social media. He was one of the rock stars that I followed, and I decided to model certain parts of his online behavior. I heard him talking on a podcast one time, and I think the way that he described this as compliment, comma, ask. Somebody gives you a compliment. Hey, Chris, I'm a big fan of everything you do. Then, like, comma and a pause. Hey, dude, you know, I was hoping you could help me out with this. People have been conditioned by this type of behavior, and they know that something, you know, is following that compliment when they have the little comma like that. So what I would recommend, oh, and by the way, personally, and forgive me if it's coming across negative, this is really how I feel, I think it comes across as shallow. And it just, you know, makes the compliment just seem like it was a setup for an ask. So here's a crazy idea. If you're going to give a sincere compliment, then have it as a standalone email, right? Now, there's a cool thing that you can do. And this was taught to me by one of the mentors that I had. Oh my gosh, it was a while ago. It was almost 20 years ago. This tough old Italian lady, and I used to talk about her all the time. I got to start talking about her again because she taught me a lot of stuff, and she was blunt as hell, man. She looked like the sweet little old grandmother type or whatever. Oh my God, you didn't want to mess with this lady. I mean, seriously. I mean, I thought a couple of times when I disappointed her that she was going to knock my fucking jaw loose. I mean, seriously, like she cracked her neck and stuff. Right? You want to go, Paul? And I'm like, no, man, we're good. Please, you know, take a Xanax, man. Let's, you know, and some chamomile tea. But seriously, she taught me a really cool way to give a compliment. And we're going to look at this method in a way that we would do this face-to-face and realize that we can easily do this online and especially in an email. So what she said was, when you give a compliment, first of all, obviously be specific, right? I mean, like if I know you, I'm not going to say, you know what, you're a really great person. Well, isn't it better if, you know, maybe if I say that, you know, you're a great person. And what I mean by that is that I notice that whenever, you know, we're in a meeting and we're in a training session, you know, you'll stay behind and you'll help the people who are struggling or whatever. See, I'm giving a very specific thing, which is what we talked about before, right? But she said there's something you should do afterwards. So the example she gave me is, you know, like if she were, what she said was, at the end of the compliment, ask a question, because what we want to do is to inspire some kind of a dialogue or a conversation, an icebreaker or whatever. And she gave the example of, you know, instead of saying to me, hey, that's a really nice tie you have on, you could compliment the person. Hey, man, I really like that tie. Is it silk? Right? You kind of end with a question. You know, you could say in that context, well, I really like that tie. You know, was it a gift? You know, whatever, right? You could, I'm not saying that's the question you ask, but you got the idea for the tactic. But now let's take this into something in more of a business context. What if you found, and this is a lead source for some, not everyone, but, you know, what I'm noticing is more and more people at the C level of companies, not everyone, but more and more, are positioning themselves as kind of a thought leader on LinkedIn. And they're posting articles about their experiences as being, you know, a CFO or a CIO or whatever. So what if, in a case like that, we did some, utilizing this tactic that I learned from my mentor, I really enjoyed your article on having a remote first workforce or a remote first environment at ABC company. Now comes the question. Have you found a direct correlation between this and employee retention? So again, we're starting off with the compliment. Hey, I really enjoyed your article on, you know, working from home. Have you found a direct correlation between employee retention and, you know, working from home. And it can create a conversation. Or they might ignore the shit out of that email, whatever. But hey, you're trying, and it's a hell of a lot better than some fake compliment that is riddled with bullshit. So that's something that you could do, right? Now, here's a cool tactic that you can use on LinkedIn. And this is something that is pretty much right under your nose every single day. So on LinkedIn, there is a thing called celebrations. And what you do on the mobile app anyway, is you go onto the tab that's called Manage My Network. Scroll down a little bit. About halfway down the screen, you're going to see celebrations. Click on that. You will see things. I mean, you're going to see birthdays and you're going to see work anniversaries, but you might see something like this. And this is actually a very specific one that I noticed today when I was just double checking, because LinkedIn every other second changes where you find shit. And I just wanted to make sure I wasn't giving you like the last week version. I was giving you the, you know, up to the minute version of it. Although, by the way, it might change 15 minutes from now, knowing LinkedIn. But as of today, May 5th, Cinco de Mayo, by the way, I go on to manage my network, click on celebrations, and guess what I see? I see congratulate Adrian on being promoted to sales manager. What a wonderful opportunity to maybe use this tactic, right? So you might be thinking, how do you use that tactic? How do you pay a compliment, right? So what I do is I check Adrian's profile and I notice that he's been there about 4 years and he's kind of gone up the chain a little bit. There's been at least two other promotions, I think, if I recall. So what I can do is send a congratulatory email, pay a compliment, end it with a question. In fact, any email that you end with a question and not an ask increases the probability of a response. How freaking cool is that, right? So what I could do is I could, again, pay the compliment. I could end with a question in this case, and feel free to steal this one, seriously. I actually have taught this tactic to clients of mine who are hunting for another job. And, you know, hopefully every time, at the end of the interview, you know, they've asked you questions. And they say, okay, what questions do you have for me? I mean, you know, you should always have some questions, right? And I don't mean, yeah, so, you know, am I getting Columbus Day off? I don't want to fucking work that day. You know, am I going to have to work with the owner's son because that ain't going to fucking work? Now, I don't mean questions like that. I mean intelligent questions. But one of the things that I teach them, and you can use it here on LinkedIn, is to ask the following question. You can say, again, you can pay him a compliment, but the question I always tell him to ask is that, I've noticed that you've been with ABC Company for 4 years or whatever. Now, let's stop there for a second. That shows him that you know, that you've done some research, that you're not just some schlep that's going to give a bullshit compliment that they don't even know to be true, just to have something to say. I mean, I personally would prefer somebody walked over to me and grunted, you know, okay, you know, whatever, then bullshit me, but whatever, that's me. I'm a complex carbohydrate. But, you know, I noticed, and we'll talk about how you're going to do this in cold email, but in the job hunting type of context, I noticed that you've been with ABC Company for 4 years. What initially attracted you to the position, but more importantly, what's kept you there? You know, what continues to excite you about your role or whatever? And everyone that I've taught that question to has come back to me and said that the response that they get that question responded to, oh, wow, great question, or oh, wow, nobody asked that question. And that's what you want, right? So getting back to now a cold email, well, we start with a compliment. Right? And we could say, you know, congratulations, right? Pay the compliment on their new role or their promotion or whatever. And you could say, just out of curiosity, what attracted you to ABC Company? More importantly, what's kept you there? So that's something that you could write. It inspires a response. It's going to be a little bit different, okay? So that's really it, folks. That's all I have for you today. So let me just recap very quickly. Number one, and I know I've said this a lot, and I know we're kind of joking around here and having some fun, but the point is still there, and I'm dead serious about it. Don't bullshit people. If you don't know what to say, don't send an email, right? I mean, I think it's better than getting caught in a lie or just going there, right? You don't want to go there. You're better than that. If you're in an environment where your boss is telling you to lie like that, and hey, there's a great approach I saw online where, you know, you pay this compliment or whatever, you know, maybe respectfully push back on that. Again, not trying to get you in a fist fight. If you're online and you see some quote unquote thought leader telling you to lie like that, you know, find a way to push back gently. Again, your objective is not to make them look like a dick. It's to kind of, you know, have a debate over it, because again, if this becomes uncomfortable for people, maybe they'll hold off on giving shit advice, like lying to potential clients, right? That's never a good thing. If you have a marketing person that's coming, you say, yeah, you should do this. If you don't mind, I'm uncomfortable lying to people. Is there something else maybe we could come up with or whatever, right? Or maybe propose what I taught you today as an alternative, all right? So that's number one. Number two, or really still part of number one, if you don't know what to say, and obviously you can't just not send emails, go into one of these email webinars that I do when I give templates or whatever, or consider this prospecting course I'm about to talk to you about. I have tons of templates and tactics that I offer, all right? That's something else that you can consider. If you are going to compliment someone, make sure that you are very specific, not general. Notice you're doing great things. Tell them what it is that you're complimenting them on, right? Also, don't give a compliment and then go directly into an ask. It just makes it look like you were blowing smoke to get something. And that isn't a good look for you and I. Last but not least, consider the tactic that I learned from my mentor, which would be, offer a very specific compliment, genuine, and then end it with a question. Because if you do it that way, it looks like you're genuinely giving a compliment and you're interested in having a dialogue, not interested in setting them up for an ask. And by the way, you know, sales cycles are taking longer these days, right? You notice that. I notice that. So there is nothing wrong in doing that ask at another time. Every email that we send, every cold call that we make, every LinkedIn communication or text message or snail mail or whatever doesn't have to end in an ask. In fact, I'm here to tell you, if every single one of these attempts ends in an ask, many cases, we're going to condition the recipient to disregard and delete us, okay? And you're better than that. So before you go, I wanted to tell you very quickly about this really cool prospecting download that I put together. And there are over 75 tips. There are over 30 different templates for both cold email, LinkedIn. There are suggested cold calling scripts, suggested responses to different objections, if you will. And I just want to backtrack on something when I said the cold calling scripts. That's not entirely true. See, now I bullshitted you there. I didn't mean to. I wouldn't call them scripts. Instead, they are more cold call openers that get someone's attention. I believe I have over 10 of those that are on there, things to kind of, you know, utilize that whole pattern interrupt thing and all, as well as where to hunt for business, how to juggle prospecting with everything else that you have on your plate. I wanted to bring you guys into the 21st century. So there's even a session on how you can use ChatGPT for your cold emails, for coming up with cold call scripts, responses to objections and all. I've even included 25 ChatGPT prompts for sales reps. So if you'd like to learn more, and I'm hoping you do. I mean, we're almost halfway through the year, and I know some of you guys are struggling, and even the ones that are doing well, doesn't mean you can't do better, right? So would you please visit yoursalesplaybook.com/prospecting24. yoursalesplaybook.com/prospecting24. With that, I'm Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get it. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production. If you'd like to join 90,000 of your sales peers who are getting my weekly sales tips for free, feel free to visit yoursalesplaybook.com/subscribe.